back here in the office, there's going to be 7 chairs which will take care of 14 brothers. Out there, there's about, how many chairs? 18 chairs. That takes care of 36. That takes care of 50 people. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to stand here, and the line that comes here, the men, they'll go in up here until I hit number 14. I very conveniently made these 14 little squares of paper. And when I get to 14, there's nobody else goes in there. The rest of the men go out there then. The ladies go in and have the foot washing to make it more convenient. And we'll have things more and more convenient as the Lord helps us. Now, I trust you got some good out of the service at this particular point. And tomorrow we'll go into more of it and try to finish up maybe a last little question and see where we go. The second question is also very involved and detailed because he makes them not a mistake, but he misunderstands how it is that you cannot take a certain thought from Brother Branham and dislocate it for a meaning that is not contingent to the rest. And you do the same with Scripture. And so we can take what he's interested in from Brother Branham to the Scripture and see what it says. Now, with foot washing and communion, let's bow our heads in prayer because we'll close this tape off because these other tapes don't go up. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you now for giving us help tonight. We believe, Lord, you really did help us. Not to declare ourselves or something we think we believe, but yet, Lord, that could be true also. But we believe that we're seeing what the prophet said and bringing it to the place where he brought it, knowing, Lord, that there was much more after that even, because he did put some of those mysteries, and had to be cleared up at the end, even the very fact of explaining the perfection of it in the rapture tape, which, Lord, we know he previously called the circumstances or events of the rapture. And so, Father, we thank you that we're standing tonight in this place here. We're solely, wholly trusting you, that whatever is requisite, needed, you are the one who will supply it. God, by your grace, we will receive it. If our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are of the wise virgin. We know positively we shall be called out, that we are called out. We are being dressed by this Word of God. We are being separated and brought into the realm of the rapture. These are the things, Lord, that we believe are in here, and we thank you for it. And we know, Lord, whatever is vital and necessary for us, you will never let yourself down. And that means we will never be let down, because you stand behind your word to perform it, and there is a word in us that must be completed. So hallelujah, Lord, we lay it all back on you, and we thank you that we can lay it on you, and you are wonderful and glorious, and may we come more and more to that particular understanding and position until, Lord, you're glorified in us and through us and we in you until both of our hearts are satisfied. Oh God, that's the one prayer that you know is in my heart, and I believe in the hearts of all sincere people. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to have foot washing and communion, and I want to just see now, where am I at? Yeah, I'm over here somewhere in the book of Corinthians, and it's in the 5th chapter where Paul has found that the people are allowing gross immorality. Now, remember, we spoke on this before. Your Brother Branham said, and it's in the conduct book, I forget just where it all is, but he speaks of gross immorality so that people cannot be given the communion. But he also speaks of correcting people through the process of faith and prayer. But he did lay it down where something would have to be done if certain other things were being done which were in direct conflict to the well-being of the body of Christ, and he put it in this 5th chapter, as I understand it. It's commonly reported there's fornication among you, and such fornication not so much innate among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, this would be incest if that was his mother. It would be adultery on her part, but fornication on his part, as we understand that. And so, therefore, this was perhaps a younger son, father, probably very old man, or much older than this woman desired, so he was using her and she was using him. Now notice, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that done this deed might be taken away from among you. Now that's a misunderstanding of eternal security and of church order and of also what God does, as though you and I didn't have a hand in it and there wasn't something that you and I are to do. Now many times I say I follow Brother Branham and I say, now look, all I do is preach the word and stand back and watch it. But believe me, if I found out that anyone here was going into gross immorality along this particular line, I've said before and I say it again, something would have to be done. It would have to be brought to the attention of the deacons, and they would have to deal with it. The people would have to straighten up, or they would be brought before the church and asked never to come back. And they would want to fool around, they'd be turned over to the devil, turned out of the church. Because, you see, that's what Paul said. They're under sanctuary of the blood in the church. Brother Branham didn't make that up. That's the Bible. See? Now watch, for I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, are judged already, as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. You see, the man doesn't go to hell, but he gets corrected. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. In other words, if you go off here, all of you are going to get in trouble. Why? Because you see, right off the bat, idolatry has come within the church. Paul tells me, he said, you're split seven different ways. They've already got into idolatry, organized little spheres of influence, everything else. And now they're showing their idolatry by doing what idolaters would do. See? Oh, I've told you, always the first thing people do get off the word, they start lying. The sex one is sex. And if they never were in the Word, they'll lie and they'll have sex. And what's going on today is AIDS. That's why we've taken such a strong stand in this church. Something is, hey, look, we're not against anybody. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not going to sit at meal with anybody who goes out and gets AIDS and comes around me. So a brother Bill, God's going to protect you. Not if I don't take issue with that thing. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. You give up here, you give up there. Well, bless God, that's my child. You're right, it's your child. Sure isn't God's child. Something's wrong somewhere. Look, you're not bringing up angels. I hope to God that he comes before tomorrow before everything goes to pot. And I'm not alarmist. I think I'm quite pragmatic and realist. You got the scripture here. Hey, you don't do these things. People get offended when you say, hey, you should do something about your family. Well, if you don't, God will. He'll step in after the devil has his way. You're, the church must start with the major problem that started in the Garden of Eden. And remember, Adam was not the wild guy. Eve was the wild woman. Not running down anybody. I'm just going to the Bible. I don't think I condemn women ever. And I'm not a woman condemner, a woman hater. But I'm sure going to stick with the Bible. And that doesn't make me a male chauvinistic pig. That's just the word of God. If I'm a male chauvinistic pig, then God's a male chauvinistic pig. There's something wrong somewhere. That's if you've got this female spirit of God stuff. Gnosticism, idolatry. Can you believe that, what I'm telling you tonight? Or just, hey, hello, you know. Well, Brother Bill, let's keep eating our porridge. It was good this morning. It's good tonight. That's a whore that brings in her customers. And like a woman eating a piece of bread, wipe your lips, you know. So that's part of life. We're not like that, beloved. Living streams are not flowing to us and through us. There's something wrong. We're living in a treacherous, treacherous day. Treacherous day. Treacherous day. People didn't even know that the prophet came and the word came and the bride is separated and it's all going on and going to go up. They don't even know they got AIDS. No blood tests, and suddenly you're dying with the same thing. You don't even know it. And know it not. Now, I know it's going over your heads and hearts. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you. We'll pay a price, though. You watch. These people here, they just didn't bother them any. Didn't bother the parents. Didn't bother the boy. Didn't bother the church. What kind of church was it? Gee. You know, it's funny, in my day, and I'm no paragon of virtue, I've told you many a time, my sins were all crappy, cruddy little things, not some good big ones, they were worth a plug nickel. But as a kid, I desperately wanted someone to tell me what was right. I didn't. But God kept me. It's paid off. There were times I wondered why I wasn't like the rest, but I'm sure glad I wasn't. But that doesn't put a feather in my cap. That's only because God did it. But you see, I wanted something. Now, you've got to want some of these things if they're going to be in your lives. That's all there is to it. And he's saying, your glorying is not good. Know ye not a little leaven? Leaven's the whole lump. You're all going to go down the drain. Purge out therefore the old leaven. That's not their idolatry. That you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Now, you can't eat the Passover with leaven. Can't have with idolatry and all these wicked things there. Therefore, let us keep the fast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the leaven of bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man's called a brother, fornicator, or coveter, idolater, or railer, drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. Now, you see, this is what Brother Branham was talking about. There has to come a time at the table of the Lord that the church straightens up. For what have I to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Now he said, you put them out. Then he said, Satan takes them over. See, and then God judges them that are without. God judges. So therefore God judges them. He said, therefore put away that wicked one from among your, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now that's what he said there. Now I'm going to Corinthians 11 chapter. Now it says here concerning the cup and the emblem of the broken body, the bread and the wine. He said, verse 27, wherefore whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the word unworthy shall be guilty of the blood, the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh condemnation, self-judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. Now what does that tell you? It says the same thing over here. See, that's the same thing Brother Branham ran into, that little woman that couldn't live the light. God cleaned her up and took her out of the way. And then he said, well, Lord, you healed her. Why is this? Why is this? And God said, because the church didn't do a thing about it. She wouldn't live the life. Now, there is a life to be lived. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. We go into another sermon Brother Branham talks about. The life that is not hypocritical. The life that's not something put on. It's a genuine life from the Word of God, because that's the life he's about. Now, when that genuine life is there, and it's in the church, there is a distinct pulling away from these carnal things that are absolutely detrimental to the destruction of the true fellowship and the life that's in the body of the church. That's why it tells you right here, to judge yourself when you take the Lord's Supper. Now that precludes the judgment of the people. But if there are those who continually will take of this table, and they do not judge themselves, so they put their houses in order, and the people in the church know it, there comes a time when they must refrain and be told. As simple as ABC. Say, hey, don't you know that that's highly detrimental? Now, what you're doing can stop people from being healed, can stop people from getting help, because your leaven can leaven the whole lump. In other words, we can become diseased also. So, therefore, it's up to the church to have standards that are high. And whether I or Bob Wright heard on you doesn't mean anything. It's, hey, do you believe this word? And when it's preached, what are you going to do about it? See, so many people don't want to do anything about it. They don't realize that when God Almighty applied the token that Brother Branham spoke about back there in the book of Exodus, it was a family affair. It was a family affair. And it had to do with the firstborn, which means a perpetuation of life. So if you want perpetuation of life, we want God in our midst and God dealing with us, then we must do what the Bible said. We must begin to line our lives up. I find that very important. I thought standing here, so, well, Lee Dale's got his life lined up and he's flawless, his language is perfect and his heart is perfect. Hey, listen, for what I know, what I do, I'm the worst of the worst. I've always said I'm a little man on the totem pole when it comes to my preacher friends. But God have me, I would never do some of those things those guys do. You say, well, now you're self-righteous. No, I'm not. When have I asked for money? When have I tempted you? When have I done one thing that these guys are doing out there, calling themselves servants of God, believe this message? You can't put your finger on it. I'll give you every cent back if you want to. Sell everything you got, you can have it. You don't fool with me on these things. See? I got my problems. You bet I have. And I know that nobody ever lived the Word or ever will live the Word. Only Jesus alone ever lived it. But we believe it. And with the believing, there is a constant sanctification. That's why there's further sanctification, even the millennium. You'll think different there and do different. Huh? And when you leave it, you'll go higher. And what happens? You'll think different and do different again. Well, come on. I'm not aiming at some type of perfection you and I come to. My God, we'd have to shoot each other and then... We're not talking about that. We're talking about progressively moving on. Progressively. So here's where we have the foot washing communion. Now, Brother Branham said about foot washing communion, he said in this end time, which is very true, brotherly love, I beg your pardon, brotherly kindness, not brotherly love. That's an error. Brotherly kindness is the virtue of this hour as the capstone descends to us. Now, in the light of the love of God, which is God, the God of love, and not the love of God, but the God of love, we are sticky. We're edgy. We take affront with people. Yeah, we sure do. But he said, if something happens to that brother you've had foot washing and communion with, or that sister, right away, you're sorry that there was ever a difference. And you pray and you want to see that things are going well for that person. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe there are people here who look out for other people. Maybe I'll close my eyes while I talk, so I won't look at anybody. No, I won't. But I know for a fact there are those who look out for people here, and there are those who don't really care to look out for anybody. You think of yourselves too much. You don't realize that if you start pulling a load, you are sowing. When you reap, that's all you get. See, why do you think I keep sowing and sowing? It's like getting. Say, Brother Bale, that's not a right attitude. You must be nuts. The Bible told me different. I don't believe you. I believe the Bible. Sow your kindness, your goodness in those things. Don't keep looking always for somebody to do something. One day they'll do something or they'll cut your hand off. You know why? God will do it because, hey, brotherly kindness means just what it says. Be kind to your brethren, the household of faith. Look to begin to do good in him. And don't double-cross people. If people are good, don't take advantage. Yeah. Now, you don't give away everything you got. That's ridiculous. But I can tell you, it is unscriptural not to come to the place where you have all sufficiency for all things, because that's the Bible. Well, you say, Brother Bill, didn't Jesus say you have the poor with you always? One scripture does not cancel out the other scripture. And I'm not preaching a gospel of prosperity which is bunk and junk and abomination. I am just telling you what the Apostle Paul said. And I'm telling you it works. You can do it. So all of these things mean, look, we take communion, we wash feet. It means we have each other. We are each other. We are not some group down the street. We are a group here. People come hundreds of miles to be with us. That ought to tell you something. Many times people come and they say, Brother Vail, we've never been in a church like that amongst your people. You know, that's the highest compliment anybody can ever tell you. That's right. Open, loving, and kind. Sharing. Some of those people have been around the world. Don't spoil a good record. If we come together tonight, let's do it knowing that we're in this together. Giving, forgiving, loving, doing what we can, knowing when one suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoice. As one believes for the Word of God to come in Revelation, one can believe for the same Word of God to come forth in manifestation of what is required amongst us. And a lot of that's divine healing. Old age doesn't have a thing to do with it. Nothing has a thing to do with it as long as you're repentant, standing on the Word. You can be healed coming through the line. But all of these good things are here tonight, and we just take part and say this is emblematic of what He gave, what He stands for. We've entered into the same Spirit, the same life, and we will stand with Him and by His grace follow Him and do the same thing. That's it. And He that is greatest of all is servant to all. So that's what we're looking at tonight. Let's rise in at this particular time. The brethren come forward. And remember, we'll... As the brethren come, 14 come in here, and the rest of the brethren go out there. Father, we now consecrate ourselves. And would, Lord, somehow examine ourselves, and not just very superficially, but in the light of the Word wherein we stand with You, and then how we stand and the strength You give us to manifest that life, Lord. We know there could be a great disparity. We're not looking at that, Lord. Tonight we're looking at the fact that You forgive us as the great High Priest. You help us and strengthen us to whatever we need to do, Lord, to be kinder, more forgiving, more selfless, whatever it takes. May we be those, Lord, that stand there. And as Brother Branham said so beautifully one time, if this fellow won't do it, you go ahead and do it. You be the one. Not vying, not trying to take anybody's crown, but simply filling a place in the body, which we know, Lord, as people who get sick, it's so good to have a healthy body and get some help. May all our people here tonight, Lord, wish to contribute to and will contribute to the health of this body by standing, Lord, with Your Word and in Your Word and through Your Word and Your Word in and through us. Even as You said in the end time, we'd be one with You and You'd be one to us, and we know that You're in the Father, we're in the Father, we're all together in this at this end time. And that's good enough for us, Lord. It should certainly be more than good enough to keep us walking in the light that's been given us in this hour. So consecrate we tonight, Lord, these emblems. The emblems of Your broken body, the shed blood, the life returning upon us. To stand forth in this darkened world as children of God, children of light. Let it be done, Lord. Let it be amongst us. Let it be all of us as a body. Help those that need to repent and those that need to straighten their lives up, Lord, to do it tonight. To realize there are things that's going to cost them something, but a whole lot more if they don't pay a price now. Help them to understand, Lord, that that's what we're talking about. Not trying to take anything from anybody. But trying to preserve them body, soul, and spirit unto the coming of the Lord. Grant this tonight, O God, for in our hearts and minds to receive it. And to have that attitude, Lord, because that's what we know we have to have, that spirit, that nature. And we'll certainly have a marvelous time tonight of going forward in further sanctification. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The brethren serve the brethren here, and we'll just start right away. But I trust I was able to bring some of the things that the brother wanted to know and some of the things that Brother Branham said. And if you want to know more, you get the Stature of Perfect Man. And you can read it in there and you can find where Brother Branham teaches. It's just like the Keswick Conference teaching of years ago. I mentioned many, many times. A man has a bottle of rocks and he pours in water. So I got a bottle of water. No, you don't have a bottle of water. And you keep taking out the rocks and pretty soon keep pouring in water. And then when all the rocks are gone, you're plumb full of the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Branham sort of reversed that. What you do, you start with a little fountain of water that isn't getting anywhere very much. And as you meet the adversities of life, you simply begin to apply those virtues in there, and the water begins to fill more and more and more with the Holy Ghost coming through. Because you see, those virtues are in the Word. Now, if those virtues weren't in the Word, the Holy Ghost could do nothing about it. The Holy Ghost will do nothing about anything but the Word. There's no way. But you see, they are in the Word, so the Holy Ghost is bound to do something about it. And we having the Holy Spirit, putting on that mind of Christ, thinking and not robbed equal with God, in other words, placing yourself right with Him in this life, and denying those things which naturally we would like to go the easy way, but to go the way of the Word, God has promised that you're going to be plumb sealed in. Your life will be really full of the Holy Ghost. And it's not the thought of being really full of the Holy Ghost as the fullness. It's talking about the life being led to where you don't have, you're just not in a place of worrying. Lord, what about tomorrow? What? So many people say, oh God, put a little fleece here, a little fleece there, something here and something. That's not the point. If you're with that Word, hey, you're in the right direction. You know, you're going with God. All right, what are we going to read tonight? 1 Corinthians, it's in the book here, so I just see my fingers are going there. We'll just read it, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord. And then, you know, the men have a little place to wash feet. I think the women have more extensive place out there now than they had before. Chairs are set up in basin. And back here, there's room for about 6 people, I think. And then when the 6 people are finished, by that time, the last of us will be ready, the deacons and the different ones. So, all right. We're looking at the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I think I might have said 13, but didn't want that. And Paul himself said in the 23rd verse, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, it's remarkable that the Lord Jesus Christ actually came to the Apostle Paul. That's Jehovah himself. That's what we're talking about. Came to Paul, said, "I'm Jehovah. I'm Jesus' Savior." That's Jehovah, Joshua. And then he actually told him everything about himself and no doubt everything he did when he was on earth. The man was given a complete, full, not a resume, but a full, complete description. And he's speaking a part of it here. When Jesus broke the bread, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So what we do tonight, we understand that this typifies, this is a type of the body. It could not be the body under any circumstances, because the body's up in heaven. So, you know, people have some foolish ideas about this, but we can't embrace that. It would be foolish. Do this in remembrance. Remembrance of what? Remembrance of his death. "And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink in remembrance of me." And how, of course, was the body broken? In death, crucifixion. How did the life go? The blood dripped out. Then, of course, he gave up his life as the blood finally dripped out. Because Christ was not just thoroughly dependent upon flesh and blood, you know, the blood there. You can't put him in the same class as we are. This is a new race. This is a second Adam. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come." Now, this coming, of course, is not the presence or the appearing. This is a literal coming when he takes us up to the wedding supper and we meet him reincarnated. We meet him in the body. So that could actually mean, if you wanted to go the whole limit, if the saints are here, already transformed for about 40 days, you could actually, you know, partake of these emblems, because it says, "Here till he come." And many people have an idea that this coming here is the appearing. It's not so. Huh? Now, this is not the first part of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is the last part. You're talking about here, meet him in the air. So it's a very worthy, in the eyes of God, tremendously worthy, and absolutely necessary that people wash feet and take the table of the Lord. Especially the table of the Lord. But if you deny foot washing, you deny this also. But the reason I say especially this is because there's nothing said about foot washing that could possibly compare with what is said here. Because this is where our salvation is. When this one set aside his heavenly garments and took on a fleshly garment and died the death of the cross and was highly exalted, whereby we, in identification, which is not only an identification of mental assent, but a thorough, absolute baptism with the Holy Ghost, knowing we have received that on grounds of the true revelation, and ours vindicated this hour. See, we know positively that we also will be glorified and raised with Him, not on the top of Mount Zion, but in the throne with Him, which is certainly a marvelous thing that God has allowed His own people. Now He said here, wherefore if a man eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, he'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, you can't help but take this back to John 3. And of course, verse 16 is a great, 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 great verse that everybody uses. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish but everlasting life. And it explains it. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It says might be saved. Now watch. The process is here. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, that's an elaboration. He said, first of all, you don't have to be condemned because the way has been made. Now, the next thing is this. If you turn Him down, you are condemned, because you haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, watch the 19th verse pinpointed. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light. See, what's he talking about, the light? Truth. You turn down the true word of God, it's over. So you come back here, and it says here, he drinks condemnation. See? Now, God sent His Son not to condemn the world. So the world doesn't need to be condemned. Now, you believe in His name, the only begotten Son, one of a kind, that one. Now, hey, that's it. But no, that's not it. There's a ramification. Why can they not believe the way they're supposed to? Well, they're condemned because light comes in the world, which is truth, and they won't bring their deeds. See, that's what Cain wouldn't do. Cain would not bring his deeds to the light. He said, no way. He said, then you're cursed. So, when Brother Branham said that no one has a right to partake of the Lord's Supper without being full of the Holy Ghost, he's 100% correct. Because without the Holy Spirit, how are you going to know what that word says? And indeed, if you do know what it says on the grounds that you can parrot it, you can say, hey, I can read, I'll tell you what it says. If the Spirit of God hasn't quickened that and made your mental faith a true spiritual faith, where you see you've come into the place where live, die, sink, or swim, and I've got peace about it, because when it's live, die, sink, or swim, the die is cast. In other words, you come to the place where you couldn't worry if you tried. Why bother? Well, that's a funny kind of a peace. It's fatalistic. What isn't predestination? So you look at the scripture here and you say, well, hey, I've examined myself. I believe. And with me it's live, die, sink, or swim. No place else to go. Where would you go? I don't know about you people. But you know, actually, if this isn't it, every molecule in my Bible, in my body, and I'm sure there's billions of them, because how many trillion cells are they? They go, if I got 3 trillion cells, I would go 3 trillion different directions. I'm gone. I think you ought to feel the same way. Not that I could make you feel that way, not that I want you to feel that way, if you don't want to feel that way. But from where I stand, I would like to believe every one of us feels that way. Say, well, what about? You shrug. In other words, knowledge stops with this. Isn't knowledge part of one of those graces? Faith,
virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, right? That's five right there. Going right on.
So, you got the knowledge. Now, how much are you going to use it? So you see, that's a big step in growing up in the Spirit of God, taking control. What about your temperance? See? In other words, like Noah, Brother Branham sang the song, you know. But Noah drifted for many a day, you know, looking for land in various ways. Faith wasn't forgotten. God sent him a sign on the wings of dove. His faith was not forgotten, see? What about Abraham? Too old to have a son when God promised a son. Well, no, and I guess he wasn't at that time, way back. When the promise came the second time, he was too old, and God had to rejuvenate him. See, God never fails. So you're looking at this here, Brother Branham bringing us such definitive explanation. Such rock salvation. He really encourages us as we read this tonight and partake of the emblems. In other words, thing is this, what more is expected? And if something was expected, what could I produce? And maybe my thoughts on expectation are not his thoughts on expectation. Remember Brother Branham, when his wife said she wanted some, what was it, silk stockings or something? Must have been silk, wasn't nylon, they didn't have no date. And what is it? No, it wasn't that. I don't think, was it chiffon socks? I don't think so. Was it chiffon? Or maybe he brought her, what, Lyle socks or something that didn't fit, didn't like, and so she hid them away. Now he thought he did a great job getting her bargain. So she never said a word, just put them away, never wore them. And he wondered why, and he found out later on, hey, I didn't get a bargain at all. You see expectations? Now you say, that's a pretty pitiful example. Oh, no, it isn't. The person is just as ridiculous. And I'm not saying it's ridiculous, you know what I mean? It's just as ridiculous to believe that her expectations and his expectations were gratified on what was right, and you come and say, well, I can take this, but I, you know, it's open house to anybody. We're not close communicants. Anybody can. No, it's based on that understanding. All right, let's rise at this time. And the ladies, of course, know where you go for foot washing, and the men know where they go, and there's about 15 chairs out there, and that'll take care of 30 to 36 people, to six in here. All right. Will the brethren please come forward? Who's ever going to serve? And we form two lines that come around from the very back. My extreme left-hand corner there, they come around and then go on out. And the one person, one brother has the bread and the two brethren handle the wine cups. And that means you can get through that much faster. So now you know how that's done. And there's two sides of the table you come, men and women. There's no special sides for young, old, or anything else. Just come right through and you are able to then have these emblems served more rapidly. Heavenly Father, we dedicate these emblems to you. And the people standing here in each one of us, Lord, we know, Father, that we're like the little old sister that Brother Branham liked to talk about, that we sure aren't what we ought to be. We know that. We're not what we want to be, but thank God we've made some growth. We're not what we used to be. And we're coming down the road here, the understanding of our hearts and minds being open, Lord. We're seeing more and more this righteous, tremendous value, even your values, Lord, demonstrated for us in this hour. And we see the word fulfilled. Now, God, tonight we pray that everybody partaking will remember that I'm on believing ground. I'm on holy ground tonight. I'm on the revealed word, the solid rock revelation tonight, because I believe the word of this hour that the prophet brought. And I see the name of Jesus Christ and what he did for me fully effective. Condemnation is past. Judgment is over, Lord. We believe that. The pronouncement has been made. There is a righteous bride in the Lamb. And by your grace tonight, Lord, we count ourselves a part of it. And, oh God, we want to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll finish back yonder. So let's rise and be dismissed, shall we, this time. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your kindness to us, Lord, above all for it. The word which has been vindicated in this hour, and the prophet taught us to put away all those things of reasoning and from our senses and from whatever the senses give us as to a carnal, human, worldly, naturalistic philosophy or knowledge, and bear only with the word of God which has been vindicated
in the proper scriptural manner. So, our Father, we pray that you'll help us tonight to, on the grounds of the, what are the true grounds of this building, this virtuous temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, sealed in by the Holy Ghost, we be true to that foundation, knowing without it, there is not a second layer, there's not a capstone, there's nothing for us in that regeneration to come when the saints go marching in. Help us to realize that, Lord, and then build as you have told us to build and vindicated to be so. Bless each person tonight in this divine presence, Father. May each one have good night's rest. May they be renewed in health and strength, Father. And again, as the prophet many, many times prayed, may there not be one feeble man amongst us. May there not be one person who is sick. Lord, we know that's not too big an order for you. We know that actually we are always undersizing what you are able to do for us and what you want to do for us. Help us to get over that, Father. To believe you as you never believed before. And to go right to the end. The glorious church of those spot or wrinkle, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. And so we are going to look at the... I just feel to go to the book of John. I'm going to have to take a little time one of these days and look up something out of the Old Testament, more than Isaiah 53 and some of the Psalms, and just go in there and see some of the things we have concerning the communion service. Well, there's back in Genesis, of course, when Abraham was served the elements by Melchizedek, wasn't he? All right, in John 13, this has to do more with the foot washing than the communion, but we take both of them, the communion, the foot washing first. I mean, the communion first, then foot washing. All right, it says here, and we always read that first verse because it is so great. Now, before the feast of the Passover, that's actually before Jesus was to be sacrificed as our Passover. The Bible calls him our Passover, which means that he is the Lamb that was given, shedding his blood for us, that we might come through the hour of darkness and the darkness of death and be spared to enter into God's promised land, which, of course, we know is the millennium, and then onward and upward to where we come to New Jerusalem. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come to be that Passover, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now, his body never left. No. Body never left. Did not happen. Soul went down to Hades. The life went back to God. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In other words, those he was presently engaged with. What does that tell you? That tells you that if we are the loved of God. Now, what's the loved of God? Well, we can find it out very simply by going to the very last book of the Bible, which is Malachi. And in there, it sure won't be Micah in one of their seven chapters there. Malachi's only got four chapters. I want the third. Let me see. No, see here. I want the first chapter. Paul's used to the third and fourth. But the first one I want. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now, God's love is elective love. Whom he set his love upon is his own predestinated. So, therefore, if you're talking about the love of God, and you want to be definitive, you have to go to your Bible. And you have to see what it was like when he was here in the flesh. Because this is going to be, in my estimation, the ultimate manifestation of him dealing in love. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, who are they? They were the 11 apostles. Now, it's not that he didn't have love for the others, like his mother and brothers and different ones. But the particular love is for these that were absolutely one with him in his ministry, the whole thing. I'm not talking about as though they had ministry to qualify. I'm just talking about they were that essential group in there. And you talk about his love in Malachi, you're looking at
Jacob and Esau. Now, there are those who translate the word hate as loveless, which is true. It can be translated that. Brother Branham never used that. But if we did go to that point with our understanding, you'll begin to realize that there are two types of virgins. One is wise and one is foolish. Now remember, when the showdown comes, the wise virgins alone go in and the foolish do not go in. So then, upon whom is his love set? Upon the wise, the inner circle. So if we're going to talk about love, and in my understanding, and therefore my presentation, I would extend to you the thought tonight that you think upon this. That though everybody talks about the love of God, there is a tiny little minority who actually has it. And will have it. Right to the going to the wedding supper. And we know that Brother Branham said concerning the man that had the what you might call the lack of fear to go into the wedding supper. Gumption, guts, whatever you want to call it. Didn't have a wedding garment on. Friend, how do you manage to sit here without a wedding garment? I don't have one. Well, he said, get out. And Brother Branham said, they sit amongst us the same way. So what was Brother Branham saying? He said, I've come to dress a bride. So that the love of God is unique when it comes to the personal relationship of the Alpha and the Omega hour. The Omega hour must be identical to the Alpha. And I would say here, at least illustrating, what greater love can anybody have than that love which is given by Jesus to the bride in this hour? Now it says, supper being ended, the devil now having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now pretty soon, you know, we're going to see the old devil incarnate himself. His spirit's already here in that he's got the son of perdition spirit and Jesus got the son of man spirit. Two miracle ministries, both authenticated by God because all power is of God, but one used very wrong and one used exactly according to scripture. So we see Judas Iscariot ready to betray. But now remember, we go beyond the point of the Alpha because in the Omega, there is no betrayal because the bride is taken out of here. She's taken out of here. Now, so Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God. In other words, that's concerning that Alpha period in that particular area. He rises and supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. Now, at this particular time, we know who has come down. God has come down. And he's come down amongst the people in order to set the church in order. Headship is here. God himself is heading his church in order to present it to Christ. He's putting everything under his feet. Now, all things are not yet under his feet, and then the Father never will be. But the Father's putting all things under his feet. And remember, when God reincarnates himself, just prior to the wedding supper, he will be King of kings, Lord of lords. That will be the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That'll be the Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. Everything, all in all, will be there. So, all right, we see here now that we're just at the point of the all things being turned over to the Son. Now, at this particular time, what's being done? Well, what's being done, now we're looking at type here, looking at figure, the whole thing. We're looking at the fact of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And notice what it says. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, there's got to be a reciprocal love. Now, the reciprocal love has got to be based upon Malachi 1. She knows who she is. She knows her election. She knows that she's the bride. Now, what does he do? That he might sanctify and then cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, it doesn't say blood. You're getting the word revealed to you now and renewed. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now, he couldn't do it back there. And they without us cannot be made perfect.
There's a perfection being worked out in the bride. Remember, the blood perfects the bride. The water of the washing of the Word takes out every spot and every wrinkle. The garments have been cleansed. And now she stands altogether lovely within and without. Right. Neither blemish, spot, nor wrinkle. She's got to be. Now the world won't believe it. We might have a little job ourselves. But Brother Branagh said, when God demands a thing, God sees that He gets it. And that's the way it is. And the church is ready to be presented. He said, so ought men to love their wives. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now what is he saying here? He's saying now, he said, for God to love us is to love himself. Why? Because as Eve was taken out of Adam, so the bride was taken out of Christ, taken from the side. You know, she's a part of God, let's face it, a part of him. And she comes back to him, which is true. So now she is completely ready. Now what is he? Now Peter then, he has a little bit of knowledge here, and a little knowledge can do you great damage if it doesn't go in the right direction. So he said, well, Lord, he said, I don't think you should wash my feet. He said, then you don't have any part with me. Oh, he said, then, hey, he said, my hands, do the whole of me. He said, no, he said, there you are again, Peter. See, now what are you looking at here at the end time? You're looking at a washing that the previous group did not go through, as far as I can read it. see the book of Ephesians, because, hey, the presentation was started by Paul in Ephesus. We're back to Ephesus, the Alpha and Omega situation, even to the completely revealed Word and the prickliness of the people. With God who is love sealing the church in, and here he's saying here, for God to do this is actually loving himself. Well, doesn't that line up with what Irenaeus said and Brother Branham said was the truth? God being a Savior necessary, predestinated man requires salvation, give himself reason and purpose of being. What is the reason and purpose of being of God? To have what he has. That's the ultimate. That's the great thing. So, for God to do that shows that God actually loves himself to love the bride. And that man, you know, you take it right down to man. Man's supposed to love his wife because she's a part of him. Brother Branham said, your mother's a part of your father. You're a part of your father. You're all work. You're all part of each other. It's all one life. So, we're looking at this here. And Peter said then, Lord, my whole body. And he said, no. This is the feet. This is the end time. Now, and Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you're clean, but not all. For you should betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Now, we know, of course, that there's going to be a lot of people come at the end time. And, you know, they'll talk about the Word. They'll take sacraments, everything else. And they'll go right through the formula. But the actual fact of the matter is, they're not a part of it. They're not receiving the washing of the water by the Word. Now, I'm not against the people. I have nothing against them because, hey, I appreciate the fact that they at least saw that much, that they knew there was reality. Now, before I started in the beginning, you know, I said, the make-believer comes in just so he can say, I knew there's nothing to it. And I simply cannot have respect for that because that man came in as a hypocrite and a liar to begin with. Why don't you just stay out? You know, I don't think you should pretend you like my cooking if you really don't like it. You know, come around till one day you say, well, I'm going to throw up. I never could stand your cooking. Well, you had an ulterior motive then coming from my cooking. What do you have in mind? What were you trying to do? Try to steal my recipes, which you didn't like anyway? You know, you took this and the guy is suspect. He's not for real. He's a hypocrite. You know why Judas was there? Money, money, money. The love of money is still the root of all evil. That's why the Jews got the paper. Yeah, they're not after true wealth. That's why the Bible then says, I take, get the gold that is tried in the fire. Get my gold. Hey, listen. Catholics got one gold. Bride got other gold. Jews got paper? Not interested. Word. Oh, yeah. Hey, we're our eyes are open. Now, watch how dangerous a thing I just said. Our eyes are open. We see. What if we don't see? Our sin remains. Because we said we saw. But that doesn't apply. No. It doesn't apply. We knew we were blind. We knew we were naked. We knew wretched. But now we see. So, all right. This is kind of what foot washing is about. These sacraments. You know, just shows you that it's something we do that has a behind it, something greater, something spiritually meaningful and wonderful. And so that's where we are. Let's rise at this time. And the brethren come forward right away. We'll just pray and be able to start the ministering. And you know how we come around the side there and you split into two rows when you come to the table, because there's one for bread, which is taken very rapidly, but the cup takes longer, so there's there'll be two cups. I think we have two, don't we? Everybody got them? Okay. Just make sure we got everybody here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are about now to enter into this communion, which we know is emblematic and yet very, very real. Even though it's just an emblem, it should positively make us realize what has taken place and the effectual value thereof. And the foot washing, Lord, we look at it again in the light of yesteryear, rolling around the Alpha to the Omega, when, as it says in Hebrews, the Son of Man has crucified themselves afresh, the Son of God rather. Lord, we see that, and we see upon whom you've set your love. And Lord, how disrespectful it would be. We would not be in the category of Rebekah. No way for Isaac, if we did not see and love the one who made us open our eyes by those gifts, a great prophet coming, showing us the majesty and the wonder and the glory in this limited sense here upon the earth, making us know that this was the one we loved and the one we wanted. So that when you come, it'll be just marvelous. It's everything and more. Even as the Queen of Sheba said, the half was not told. We appreciate that tonight. Lord, let it be real to each and every one of us. May we enter into spiritual mindedness, Lord. Especially knowing that the hour is rapidly closing off. And yet if you should not come until some of us go into the grave, that's of little import. It's been proven, vindicated, every evidence that the earth and man will soon run its course. And the great God will take back His earth and His people and begin anew. We appreciate that and thank you for it and revere your great and holy name, even Jesus' name. Amen. Dismiss us if this is hooked up or not. Gracious Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness to us, Lord. We know that this is indeed a privilege. We don't understand how deep it is. We wish we did, to be more dedicated, more sober, more reverent in all things, Lord, giving you glory. But Father, we know that we're just on the trail upward, and it shall increase, Father, and somehow you'll bring about the desires of our heart. You said that those that came to you empty, you would not turn away empty, but rather you'd fill them. It's a full, Lord, that you cannot help, and they are turned away empty. So, Father, we know that you're on our side, we're on your side, we're going on, and by your grace, Lord, we'll meet you one day face to face in that reincarnation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We can progress with the service thereby. And the book just opened to John 13. I honestly did not have anything to do with it. It just popped open here by turning it, so I'm going to just read it. That must be what we... I'm not the kind of guy in Pentecost to go to the refrigerator, you know, and open the door and say something. No, it's not that at all. It's just that... It's just that there it is, so we're going to read it. Now, before the feast of the Passover. All right, feast of the Passover. What does that mean? You're going to feast on that which is the Passover, that which is the lamb that was slain, and the blood was assuaging for sin. The death angel could pass over the night of death. There's a night of death coming upon the earth. We are having the hour of our Passover. And what is the hour of the Passover looking at? We are in that hour we shall drink anew with him in the kingdom. The berry and eat the bread we're talking about. Yes, eat and drink. Exactly. You say, Brother Dale, could a glorified person do it? Hallelujah. Brother Branham said Jesus in a glorified form ate a fish sandwich. Right. I don't care if I got an amen or not. The truth of the matter is he ate. So we're going to eat. We're going to drink. And you notice one thing? Hey, you ever notice something? The only thing we've got left in this life as Christian is what? To fellowship and eat and drink with each other. You can't run to the pool hall. You can't run down to the picture shows that are filthy. If you do, it's bad. You can't run here and you can't go there. What's left of the Christian? To get fat. Yes. Yes. Eat the fat and drink the wine. Have a merry heart. Come and dine. Yes, it's scriptural. It's scriptural. Yes, I tell you, not a lie. Now, just before this great hour, notice, having loved his word, his own, the greatest love that God could show is to come down and let us know who the predestinated are by the revelation of what the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost really is. So now we're the loved ones. Notice here. Now this supper being ended. And you know we're in the last days. You got to have the old devil here to betray us. Sure, the two vines. Satan's vine looks like Jesus' vine, even looks better. Look at the crowds Oral Robert pulled. All these men pulling these crowds. So, oh, this is the big deal, the big deal. Is it the big deal? Come on, brother, sister. Don't be children, except in malice. If you're going to be children, be children in malice. What's children in malice like? Oh, they can fight and gouge a bit, but they love and kiss pretty soon. You can't keep kids mad. Unless they're perverted little devils. Real serpent seed from the ground up. Yeah, I don't see that around our kids here. I've seen them, you know, they cry and howl at each other, but pretty soon they're hugging and, oh, that's beautiful, you know. Yeah, little children. Just be children in malice, which means there isn't any. You don't know how to hold a grudge, no way, shape, and form. A little stickiness here, but so what? Everything's sticky. Well, you know, popcorn balls are sticky, but they're sure good. Remember to make popcorn balls? Sure. Sure, like little kids. All right. The old devil's here in the son of perdition. We've had the son of man ministry. We know everything is just great. Everything's now in the hands of God. Absolutely. Hey, listen. Brother Branham told us, he said, hey, listen, he said, the boat has got its stabilizers on. It's all in God's hand. We're going to crest every wave. Just let go and let God. What are you supposed to do in the meantime? Be good men on the ship. Just live good lives. Go down to the larder and stock up when you need to eat. Help people a little bit seasick. You know, lift up their hands. Take care of them. Give them a little seafood, you know, sickness medicine, which is the word of God. Straighten them right up. Pray for them. Right down the line. So, all right, that's what we look at here. He poured water in the basin and washed their feet, which signified what? They're clean already. Just the last little bit of the word coming to do the final job, ready for the resurrection and rapture. And then as a prophet, he just said the same thing every prophet's got to say. You don't know now, but you're going to know hereafter. And they did know, because he was looking to his death and resurrection, and that's exactly what took place, and he had to explain every single thing. So don't feel bad if you don't understand a lot of things. Just know this, that you're in the hour when you're going to know exactly what you need to know. God's going to get you out of here. All right. And then he said here, at the end time, he said you only need to have your feet washed because, and that's what Brother Branham came and did for us. He said, and there will come a time when you know you always were saved. He said, not the day you thought you were. And that's what came to us as the truth. Hey, look. A seed of God, we never did sin. No way, shape, and form. Nope. We were put here in the flesh to be tested. We fell in the flesh, but we never disbelieved. And you know, that's exactly the truth. The true believer will never come against the word of God. And now what does it say here? After the feet were washed, he took his garment. What are we looking at now? When this little time is over, the Spirit amongst us, that's the head of the church, God in control, and leave it all in his hands, he's going to get us out of here. When that Spirit's incarnate to us, we're crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, God putting his garment on again, and you will see that man, Christ Jesus, face to face. And that's what we're looking at as we go through the communion line tonight, brother, sister. Don't have any other thoughts in your mind. You say, look, we can take that word of God. It may be rough at times, but that's all right. We need to line up with it, and by his grace, children of God, we not only will line up to it, but we will be the living word of God, living epistles, because God said so. Not because we say so, and not because of any diligent effort on our parts, as though we could try to wump up something, but actually the truth of the matter is, Brother Branham said, his great gift was get out of the way. How we must learn within us, the one great little simple thing that Brother Branham said, learn to step out of the way. Like the old lady, and I don't know, she used to, you know, lady down in Carolina, she was a real sweet old gal. She was a great grandma, I guess, and I guess I was maybe a grandpa by that time, I'm not sure. And she, you know, I was preaching away on faith and all, and she got in conviction, and she said, you know, Brother Dale, I've got to just confess something. She said, I dip snuff. Well, I guess they dipped snuff down through this out. I never even felt embarrassed for it. I just kind of laughed. It kind of tickled me, you know. But you know how it is here now. There's none of us are going to be dipping snuff for anything else, you know, really. We have our problems, sure, but we're not going to be against the word of Almighty God. And our confession is one with Him. So let's pray now for the emblems as we start. Heavenly Father, we took a little short talk on Your word here, but we believe it helps us to understand a little bit more in the sense of what we are doing, unto whom we are doing it, and the immediate effect upon ourselves, Lord, as an example. It's something, Lord, laid out as we do each time our thoughts increase in that which was given for us, Lord. We realize it wasn't just a broken body, which that is true. The body had to break before the life came forth. But as Brother Branham said, that life went back, united the Father. God literally tearing the soul out of Jesus Christ, which is true. That's what it had to be, and coming back upon us that very life. How tremendous that is to know, Lord, that that is our surety, locked into the fact of the resurrection. Nothing in our hands or bring. We could sing that song, that is true. But that would be a lie in our particular case, because these bodies are temple of the Holy Ghost. And we ought not to think anything else than that very fact. And realizing that, Lord, because that's what Paul and these men did of old. That great assurance, that understanding came upon them, and they stood there like rocks of Gibraltar. They couldn't be changed. Peter even crucified upside down because he said, I'll not even be in position as my Lord was. We see Philip going to visit with the Ethiopian eunuch and bringing him the message of salvation, being caught away. All these things, Lord, led us to know, proven in our day, the word of God so correct. Lord, help us to believe as never before. That's what we really need. And in the believing, Lord, we know that that's going to set aside all principalities and powers. That's where the life and the power is, Lord. And it will come forth in these beings. Father, in everyone I pray tonight, there'll be that life manifested coming forth as You require. Not as I might think as in my brother, not as they might think in me. But Lord, as You want it, let it come forth, O God. And each one here encouraging each other, speaking those things of truth, and helping each other on as we really ought to do. As we come around this table, Lord, let it be the true love feast. Not where the Corinthians came together and they brought their fancy rolls and their wonderful spreads and they all ate by themselves and made a division and made some kind of a very sarcastic mimicry, Lord, of the very love feast. There's no love there at all. It was a selfish little self-indulgence. But tonight, Lord, let it be a true love feast as we enter in, O God, to the reality of Your word. And we, Lord, realizing that brother and sister beside us is doing the same thing. Marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. That's what we pray tonight. And we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the brethren will serve now. If you can start coming from the... Oh, they're ready. They finished at the back end. Then at this time... Now, I've been hitting pretty hard tonight, but I want you to just remember something. What was the last... second to the last vision that Brother Branham had? It was a beautiful woman rising up in the United States, right? All right, now, the Pope has already declared that Mary, Hail Mary, like literally said, a year of Mary. But what has the United States said in 1992, the year of the woman? How close are we? I mean, before we wake up, do we have to have a ton of bricks fall on us? A 4x4 hit us? Do we have to have the mules just pull the cart far enough to kick us? You know, it's time we woke up, brother, sister. Every sign shows that it's all but over. I said before, a couple more years, a couple of communions. There's just another evidence, the year of the woman. I don't care where you turn. They've said it, that it is. And what is this woman rose up? She is beautiful but murderous. Why do women want abortions? Because they're murderous. And men are just happy to accommodate them. Hey, look, we know what we're talking about. This is serious. 30, 40 years ago, I couldn't be serious I am today because I didn't know. I wondered. I didn't know this and that. But today we know the answers have been forthcoming. So in the hour of sobriety, and this perhaps is what has taken to make us more sober, I trust it is, and more reverent, in the knowledge of God. Well, there's one thing about it. The blessing of the Lord, you know, addeth no sorrow, increases in richness. The blessing is His word. So we're blessed people. We're not lean in our souls. We haven't given away the gifts, which are fine in the right place. But we've been led beside the still waters. God is our shepherd. He's our refuge. Doesn't matter what man does. It's what God wants to do.
And he will do well by us. So let's be on the Lord's side. Let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, it's been wonderful to be with your people here. We'd sooner be with them than anybody we know anywhere at any time, although we know there's others like-minded, of like faith, and they have their place and in their right situation. We have ours in our right situation. We just say, Father, bless them. Let the word of God dwell in their hearts richly, knowing that the blessing of the Lord, it giveth riches and doesn't add any sorrow, because it is the word of the Lord to people who are receptacles thereof. And the word is life. And so we thank you for it tonight, Lord. We praise your name, and may we ever go on now in the fullness of this meeting, the joy of it, the peace, the sweetness, and what we've come to, Lord. We just believe you, Lord. We've got to believe you, because it's in our hearts and our minds to believe you. And somehow with your strength, it will do your will all the way through. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. From a long time, thought I'd do that instead of another book. It's Isaiah chapter 53, so if you want to stand at this time and the brethren come and get everything all ready, we won't take too much time talking about this. So the other brethren come forward right away so they can partake of the emblems and get on with the business of doing. And you know how we do foot washing now. We got more space out yonder than we had before. So you come on up here, and I want to read this. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, of course, you know they go hand in hand. It's actually a double question there. Who does believe the report? Only those that are ordained to it. As many as were ordained believe. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? They really know it's the arm of God. We know Christ is the arm of God. Who's the revelation? Just those same old sheep, that's all. Now it says he's got, why is it the rest don't see him? Well, because there's a kind of a peculiar situation here. He's sort of hemmed in. He's put in a position of, like, you know, you just simply can't see him. He'll grow up like before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty we should desire him. In other words, part of his life is him just standing there, not doing any miracles. His claim is of God, while he stands simply there and tells them, listen, you saw enough miracles to know that God is in me doing the works. But it looks just like no harvest. He's despised, rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, we hid as it were our faces from him. His esteem, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Of course, that's part of the crucifixion and the judgment there. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, that's our aches and our pains and our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement our peace upon him, with his stripes we were healed. Now listen, it says in verse 8, he was taken from prison of judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He had no children, see. He didn't have any offspring. He cut off the land of the living for the people. But Psalm 22 and 30 says that a generation shall be for a seed. So he has his seed. You know, he said he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he put him to grief. Now listen, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He doesn't have any seed, yet he sees them. He never got married, never had children. But what was it? His life was the water that came back to water all the seed of God, bring them back to God, that they might flourish as the green palms by the river of life, be the prosperous, pleasurable children in the hand of God because of what he did. He'll see the travail of his soul. He's going to be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he'll bear their iniquities. So there you see the picture of the life, the death, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see in there all the things that he accomplished for us, which were accomplished by him. You see the great satisfaction of God. And you see how that God brought everything back. He just, literally, he took full responsibility for his word. And that word now in our behalf, there's not one good word of his promise fail. And there isn't going to be one person fail. I wish we could get that in our hearts tonight, that there's absolutely no chance. There is no way that a person's going to miss what he's accounted for.
There is no way at all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're going to take these emblems now at this time, sanctify them by Thy Word. Thy Word is truth, O God. We're grateful for that. Here it is, the truth with the truth with the truth. Nothing but the truth and the life in it, bringing it to pass. Father, these are momentous days in which we live, and this is a momentous service, even though it may not seem that way. It's a terribly, greatly momentous service. It's one that may never be repeated. We may never come together again. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, but we do know this one thing. Your word is true, and it's not going to be unfulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled in the people. And though you slay us, count us as for the slaughter, Lord, whatever it is, we know there's nothing going to separate us from your love. That's been proven. We may have problems with ourselves, Lord, but we know one thing. It's been proven to us. And therefore, there's no problem in the long run. It's going to be. We realize that, Lord, and we thank you for it. The die has been cast, as Brother Branham said. The stabilizer put on the ship, cresting every wave we're going over. The waters flowing out of Ezekiel's temple, Lord, are no longer to the ankles, to the knees, to the thighs, swimming, but they're waters to carry us over. We appreciate that tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you've done it. Father God, accept our love tonight as we accept your mercy and grace, and be with us for the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I think perhaps we're finished by now. Let's rise at this time to be dismissed and take your good, sweet spirit of the Lord with you. And you can't improve on it, but one thing you can do is recognize it more and more until the joy bells can ring ever more loudly and the peace of God reign more supremely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go, we just commit ourselves to you. Our souls especially have been committed, Lord, to you and to this word for a long time now, that we can say with assurance that this is it. And so many people years ago facetiously and yet well-meaningly and sincerely said, if this isn't it, we'll wait for that to come. But Lord, we know that this is it. As the prophet said, that which is perfect has come. And by your grace, we have the perfect revelation of the word for this hour. And we have seen it and seen it applied to us. And we are content, Lord. Our greatest problem is, we recognize we just can't feel worthy in ourselves to relegate it to ourselves, but we know, Lord, it was said to somebody, and we're the ones that received it. So be, Lord, we believe that we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture, the flock of your hand. And we believe, Lord, that we must be that bride, even though anyone else, even our own thinking, could say contrariwise. There's a word that indicates, vindicates, other than that. No unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.